the city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head. The end is near, so let's drink a beer show.
Here you go. And we chose this theme after much deliberation. What, Rick? About at least a minute and a half? 3 minutes, maybe, yeah.
It's just been on my mind lately. I've been watching being a news junkie, and sounds like the end of the world is coming, so it's time to drink
it,
a beer.
It's really bad out there, isn't it? I mean, maybe, staying inside and drinking until you're falling down pissed drunk, it just doesn't sound like a bad idea.
You know, we went to a boxing match last night downtown Memphis, and the guy I was riding with, he had to go fill up, and he has a Yukon.
Oh, shit.
He puts his credit card in the machine, and it cuts off at $100. He still had about room for 5 more gallons. But the machine cuts off at 100, and you got to put your credit card back in and do it again.
What was the price?
Did you notice the price? Right at $4.
Okay,
$3.95. I
was telling Rick this. I just got back from California.
Mm-hmm.
An aside, thanks to Phil and Katrina, our friend of show Phil, we went out and had a cocktail or three. I'm filling up there, and I noticed that the gas price there was $1 a gallon higher.
Whoa.
Premium gas at the pump I was at was $4.99. Diesel was $5.07.
Holy cow.
But on the flip side, Jack Daniels was $16 for a 720 milliliter, whereas here it's $23. So it's like, well, you've got to make your choice. You want to fill up on gas or
fill up on Jack. Well, you know, Tennessee has the highest liquor tax in the country.
Right.
It's a progressive tax. It's higher on the items that are sold more. So the deal is to buy the bigger bottles because they're the least amount sold.
Okay.
So you pay less tax on a bigger bottle than you do a pint or a half pint.
And then there's the housing market, gone to hell in a handbasket.
Right, the meltdown of the subprime mortgages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 300 people were just arrested for that.
Arrested?
Yeah.
Oh, for the...
As in the asses is in jail.
All right.
Wow.
The white-collar jail? Probably.
Right, that's the golf club version, right?
Yeah, golf jail. Well, we're cracking our first beer, and we got a little mixture today from California by way of Denver. The first one up, Lagunitas Cappuccino Stout. Man. Ale brewed with Colombian coffee, and it weighs in at a lovely 8.3% alcohol by volume.
Holy frijole.
So a nice little beverage, and this is, we're of course completely out of season. This says it's autumn, but we're indoors. We got air conditioning.
Damn right.
We're pretending.
It's Prost.
And nice. Now I'm using, Mike's using what do you call that? Kind of a tall...
Tulip?
No, it's too fat to be a tulip. It's like a wine glass, but it's real tall. It's one of my favorite beer glasses, and he's got a pretty good-sized head on it. Mine's dissipated a little. I'm using my official New Belgium drinking glass. Have you popped yours open yet, Rick?
Oh, yeah. I've been drinking on it. It's really smooth. It doesn't have the same bitterness as a lot of the Java porters and things have.
Yeah, it's not near as dry.
It's got the coffee all up in it. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's got coffee, but it's not bitter coffee, which is nice.
I think that's why maybe they call it a cappuccino.
It's got like a little that acidic burn that you sometimes get with coffee beers.
Yeah, so. I'm not getting that at all. Now
but
this,
a lot of stouts are real dry, but this one is still kind of wet on the tongue after you swallow. It's pretty good.
There's a little sweetness in it.
Uh-huh. The average here, looking at Rate Beer, was 3.62 out of 591 people rated it, and it's good stuff. And I like this.
Does it have a caffeine?
Limit
on there?
But it is a beer you would not want to, crack open a cold one right after mowing the yard.
No.
I mean, I was mowing the yard about an hour and a half ago, so I think I've waited long enough.
Same here.
You soaked up a little air condition too, so.
Yeah. So this beer so far is not a disaster. It's pretty good. Made with Sebastopol's own hardcore coffee. Lagunitas.
It's got a little play on the Lord's, or one of those psalms. I forgot what the psalm is.
A psalm?
Coffee is my shepherd, I shall not doze. It maketh me to wake in green pastures. It leadeth me beyond the sleeping masses. It restoreth my brain. It leadeth me in the paths of consciousness for its name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of sleep, I will fear no artificial sweetener, for thou art with me. Pretty cute.
That's funny. So we were talking about, you know, the end is near. Let's drink a beer. What else happened? Like the top story tonight, of course, is what was the one, Rick? You said it just happened.
Oh, typhoons in the Philippines.
Yeah,
and
okay.
California, the lightning strikes have caught the state on fire again.
Again, yeah. Okay.
Again.
Well, and out there in those typhoon areas, they had a ferry turn over and killed 400 or 500 people. They said it was the worst peacetime. What do they call it? Maritime disaster?
Maritime,
yeah. They said that was the worst since, God, forever. It's been a long time.
400 people on a ferry, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was a big boat?
They said it was a 2,600-ton ferry.
Oh,
so
like
that's pretty big.
Hauling cars and people and everything, yeah.
Goat sheep, you know, all that stuff over there in that foreign land.
Well, and in southern China last week, the worst flooding in 50 years kills over 60 people, destroys 5.4 million acres of crops, causes landslides, and 13 people gone missing.
That's going to hit them in the pocketbooks.
That's right.
They'll have to sell a few extra pigs and sheep over there to make it up.
And speaking of pigs...
Mm-hmm.
That's assuming the pigs haven't been drowned.
Yeah. Or shot. I pulled this up. This is from KCCI Channel 8 in Des Moines, Iowa. Luck has run out for about a dozen pigs who escaped their flooded farm only to be shot atop a levee by authorities in Des Moines County. They said the pigs, the sheriff's deputies killed the pigs over worries that they would weaken the levee. Because, you know, Des Moines is like ass deep in the Cedar Rapids flood, right?
Uh-huh.
And it says the animals are having a difficult time trying to maneuver their way off the sandbags. Okay, so?
Well, they probably thought that they were going to disrupt the sandbags and make it collapse.
It did, you're right. The Leroy Lippert, him being chairman of the county's emergency management
otherwise known as Bubba.
Yeah, Bubba said the pigs had to be removed because they could have poked holes in the levee's plastic covering and let water in. Note to self, don't use plastic.
The cloven hoof will destroy the sandbag.
That's right. So we were talking about that earlier, and Rick, you were saying they had all this footage and stuff about the pigs swimming around, they couldn't be saved and stuff. Well, apparently, even the ones who got loose were put down.
That's poor, just cold.
Poor pigs.
They're out of the frying pan and, into the levee, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. And there was...
They're floating down the river.
I know. It's just like, if you didn't drown, the cops are going to shoot your ass from fucking holes in the levee.
Yeah. I was reading something about the floods, too, and they were talking about all the sewage that was coming up because the whole city's inundated out there in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
And all the sewage is coming up and really causing massive problems out there.
Well, that's going to hit them in the pocketbook.
Yeah.
Probably make
deep pocket.
Now, you know, Trey said something yesterday, and I didn't think about this. You know what all of the, and this is from my disaster list, June 9th through 18th, Indiana, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, and Wisconsin. Severe flooding from storms caused already swollen rivers and lakes to flood, killing 10, breaking 3 dams, causing thousands to evacuate their homes. In addition, at least 90 roads are closed. According to the National Weather Service, the Cedar River is 17 feet above flood stage. Mm-hmm. Worst flooding Cedar Rapids has ever seen. And Trey said something about, and this makes sense, it's wiped out corn crops.
Oh, and yeah, pigs. Yeah, thousands of acres.
And yeah, the pigs for the meat.
Yeah.
But the corn, it's like it was feed corn, so even more animals are going to be hurting.
Yeah.
Farmers are going to have to pay more for corn.
Well, they're doing so much with ethanol with corn now.
And with the ethanol. So, that's going to get on the gas. Yeah. That's what where he was going. He said that's going to affect gas prices. And so he made the leap all over. So it's like all this natural disasters are just causing all kinds of major
shit. They had a pipeline attack on an oil pipeline in Nigeria. Chevron announced yesterday or today, I think. And they had to shut down their refinery, and it's costing them like 120,000 barrels a day production.
Well, you know what they're, I don't know if they put it to a vote yet, but you know what they're considering about opening up the Alaska Reserve,
the pipeline? Yeah, the ANWR.
Yeah, more to go in there and allow more drilling and stuff. So everything's going straight to hell.
But that's
going to
be 3 years before any oil that reaches our street. So, you know, we're still in major epic biblical proportions, man.
It doesn't matter, though. It's the threat that's going to cause it to go up. Like, I mean, you're probably right. It'd be 3 years. Yeah. That don't mean they're not going to start jacking prices up and screwing us. It's, you know, the man who lives on the hill.
Sounds like a good reason to have a beer.
That sounds like a good reason.
The end is near. Have a beer, dude.
All right. Well, I got an appropriate song for the occasion. Let's take a break and listen to a little Highway to Hell.
Take
Okay, then. That wasn't your everyday AC/DC, because it wasn't. That was a cover, Highway to Hell, by Quiet Riot. Damn.
Awesome, man.
Damn fine job. And, you know, we were talking about natural disasters. That was a, in my opinion, a musical disaster when we lost lead singer Kevin Dubrow last year.
Yes.
Of Quiet Riot. So that kind of sucked, you know.
It's a good reason to have a beer.
It's a very good reason. Here's to Kevin.
Here's to Kevin.
Here's to Kevin.
So right. We are toasting with the limited release Lagunitas Old Gnarly Wine, which is original gravity, 1096, alcohol by volume, 9.7%.
I'm looking at the label, and it says, the first sip is for thirst, the second for pleasure, the third is for knowing, and the fourth for pure madness.
Hell yeah. It's got a mad dog on the cover, too.
Yeah, that's
at the very bottom, it has a little doggone good on the label.
What's the,
now, I'm not going to be able to read the side note because it's too small.
I can read it.
What's the 2020-08? What does that mean?
2008.
Oh, okay. Duh. Hello.
There you go. 22 double knot 8.
Alt knot equals alt knot. Get him, Granny.
So this is a dark beer. It's got a pretty color. It's kind of red.
Got a pretty
very
color.
Very coppery in color.
It's got a pretty mouth for a beer. But this is a, it's got a real thick head. Damn, Mike's like pounding it.
Boy, it's a pretty color.
So let's see here.
Smells,
oh
good,
God,
too.
That's minute type. Okay.
I need my cheaters.
Buy
to
a
read
bottle
that.
And you can read it yourself. Because I sure as hell can. This is some tiny type. They were saving on their type budget.
Can you find the label on the internet?
Yeah, they've got, okay, here's what I've got about the gnarly wine. We already covered, Rick, you said, what'd you say, 9.7?
I did, 9.7.
9.7. This is another autumn one. It has a rating of 3.86 out of 5 for the gnarly wine. And so you're enjoying this?
I am. It's sweet.
It's got that. Really,
it's got a good hop aroma to it.
It does. It's got that kind of, you know what, the smell. The smell reminds me of the Dogfish 90.
Duh.
It's got that kind of balanced smell.
Ooh. Very close, very close.
So. Very tasty. And barley wine's one of those goofy-ass categories where, you know, well, if it's got a lot of alcohol and a lot of this and a lot of that, it's a barley wine.
Amen, brother.
You know, just toss it in there, call it a barley wine.
I hope these breweries make more barley wines because I love them.
Yeah, you know, I used to be kind of down on barley wines, I guess, because I had some, like, nasty ones. But these were good. And, Rick, segueing off the barley wine, you had a few yesterday.
Whoa, yes, I did. I had,
I heard the gears engage.
Clunk, clunk, clunk. He shifted
well,
a little slower. But
my wife saw a little Alison Krauss and Rubber Plants, and good concert, good concert.
Good venue,
Rocks,
right?
And it was extremely bumper to bumper, so we didn't have quite the amount of time to tailgate that I wanted to. But I had two bottles of Bigfoot 2008 with me. So
cool.
That was my tailgate beer.
Well, hey, man, how was Plant?
He was awesome. Amazing. What? I wish that they would have just done their own music, you know. Have Alison Krauss do her music and have him do his. You know, because they were, as a duet, they harmonized perfectly. But they kind of munched their songs, you know. They slowed them way down, made them ballads, and, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they take a great Led Zeppelin song and just, like, play it at one half speed. You know?
You think they were doing that for, like, A, creative, or B, because they old.
They're old, and it's easier to do. It's much easier to do.
They're trying to be creative. They kind of match each other's styles. She's a very, you know, she sings slow.
Yeah, kind of ballad.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could always stick a fast one in occasionally, you know?
Yeah, live it up a little. Yeah. She's not that old.
No, she's actually quite young.
Hey, what was the crowd like? Was it just all ages or what?
sort of my age.
Uh huh.
There were some kids. I mean, with Led Zeppelin shirts. A
bunch of old fuckers, huh?
Of us 45-year-olds, and they're hanging out.
Yeah. All right, so Mike, would you support the Alison Krauss Robert Plant agenda?
I would like to go see him, yeah.
I mean, their agenda is, we here to make some money.
Well, no, I would love to see them if they're a little, you know, more to the norm.
Okay, but you were ranting a little during the break about how some artists promote an agenda.
Yeah.
Like your buddy Sheryl Crow, yeah. And...
Well, their liberal agenda, you know, we afford them the stage, right? We afford them because we pay the money. They get up, and our money goes to create that stage that they're on day in and day out. And then they want to
share their dumb values
and views with me, which I could really care less. I love your analogy, and I heard you say this probably a year or so ago. Uh-huh. The organ grinder.
That's
and
right.
Put the quarter in the box, turn the wheel. Right. And then when I'm done, I go home and, you know.
That's it.
And shut the hell up.
Put the monkey back in its cage.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Because they are nothing more. I mean, in the olden days, when the kings were sitting around drinking their Lagunitas gnarly wine and they wanted to be amused, they'd bring out the jester.
Yeah.
And he'd prance around and hop around and dance. And the king was tired of his ass and cut his head off.
Yeah.
The end. Go find me something else.
If he didn't make him laugh, whack.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, entertain me, then get the hell away.
You know, now we got to listen to Alec Baldwin bitching out his, 10-year-old daughter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just bullshit.
Yeah, but at least that wasn't an agenda.
Well,
it was him being a dumbass.
He's got a weird agenda, too.
But, you know, they all, I mean, I agree. I used to think, bullshit. But celebrities and stuff, because of their entitlement, they are... removed from normal things, and so they don't know how to act.
Yeah.
They're like, I would hate to say like retarded kids, because retarded kids, frankly, are a lot smarter than most celebrities.
Sure.
You know? I mean, they just do not know how to act.
But how does this sucker even keep his job or keep his celebrity status after doing what he did? I mean, look at all these celebrities that do what they do. Britney Spears.
Because the list goes on.
Lindsay Lohan.
They want to have an idol to worship. Yeah. I mean, everybody you name, I'm thinking, fuck them.
I think it's the end of times, man.
We are voting more for which semi-talented asshole on American Idol than your next president, right?
And that's more important, American Idol, than the presidency, let me tell you. More people will vote in American Idol than they will in the election.
Maybe what we should do is we'll have presidential death match, you know, or some kind of presidential idol thing. That's the only way to do it. Do it like a TV series.
Hollywood's already beat you guys to it. There was a movie about that.
What was it?
Where it was a kind of a presidential American Idol thing.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot the name of the movie, but that was kind of the premise.
Well, that's no help. You get me all worked up, and then you fade out here.
What? Kind of like a $2 hooker.
Oh, man.
So let's talk about natural disasters. I thought that was the theme of the show.
Okay, January 7th through 8th, Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri, Wisconsin, a series of tornadoes caused by record-breaking temperatures kill at least 6 people, including 2 children, destroy houses, and flood roads. February 5th and 6th, at least 55 people are killed and hundreds more injured after violent tornadoes ripped through the southern United States. According to emergency officials, victims include 31 in Tennessee, 13 in Arkansas, 7 in Kentucky, and 3 in Alabama. And more.
We had one here in Colorado. A massive tornado tore into northern Colorado town of Windsor and nearby towns Thursday. This is back May 22nd. Killing one person and damaging many homes and businesses.
And Virginia got their ass handed to them when 3 tornadoes strikes Norfolk, Suffolk, and Colonial Heights, injuring over 200 people, destroying 140 homes. It's just shit everywhere. And Mike and I were driving back. You remember coming back from Nashville?
Yep.
And this is, a couple of weeks after the tornado?
Mm-hmm.
And swung by and looked at the college.
Yeah, Union University in Jackson, University, Tennessee.
And it had just dropped down and pounded, just crushed a building flat. And we could see as we were driving, you could almost see the path of the tornado. Bam, bam, bam. Trees snapped off about midway up where the thing was coming down. And that was one of those things where I think no one got killed at Union, but it collapsed on top of a bunch of
It killed some
girls.
People in a little town right before Jackson.
Yeah. So it was amazing. I remember we got emails from people saying, are you guys okay? Did we get anything? It's like, well, yeah, Tennessee's a pretty big state.
Mm-hmm.
but it was nice. And yeah, and Rick, you were saying something earlier about we lose sight of these things because was it the media constantly showing things in our face? And
yeah, everything seems like it's local just around the corner, you know, even though it's, you know, occurring in a small town in Iowa or wherever. Just the way they play it, they, you know, all day long, you know, it, disaster after disaster after disaster, it just seems kind of like it's, you know, it wears on you.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Oh, Iowa, there's another tornado. It's like the flood isn't enough, right? And I don't know how we missed this, because this occurred during the flooding, just like for, to add a little extra. Another tornado touched down and killed 4 Boy Scouts and injured 48 more as it tore through the Little Sioux Scout Ranch in western Iowa.
Wow.
So I don't even remember that being on the news.
Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty tragic.
Well, the this is a little article on May 12th about some tornadoes out in Oklahoma and Missouri and Georgia over the weekend, raising the nation's 2008 total to about 100, the worst toll in a decade.
Yeah.
So pretty hot stuff, leaving some marks in people's pockets.
Yeah, that's going to affect them in the pocketbook.
Amen, bro.
That's going to hit them in the pocketbook.
So you think you were saying something else, though, Rick, about before about the death toll. We get real insensitive to these numbers.
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at the Chinese earthquakes, and 67,000 people died.
That's a shitload of people.
That's a shitload of people. You know?
I mean, I know there's a lot of Chinese, but still.
We've had the Iraq war going on, well, the occupation going on for a good 4 or 5 years now. 4,000 people. This is 67,000 people die due to one natural disaster. You know?
Hey, Rick, I go to a lot of Ole Miss football games, and their stadium holds 65,000. So when you
the entire stadium.
Fill it up with corpses.
Yeah, fill it up with corpses. Imagine that.
Yeah, take a picture of that. You also said something about the, you know, the war, and we go on and on and on about the tragedy of the war and the 4,000 stuff. And this is maybe insensitive of me, but and I knew this, and I had to look it up to confirm. Are you familiar with the Battle at Pittsburgh Landing? It's during the Civil War.
Okay.
It's also known as Battle of Shiloh.
Okay.
Shiloh.
Okay.
3 days. And it started late afternoon and ended early morning on the following Sunday. In 2.5 days' time, over 4,000 people were killed.
Wow.
In one battle.
Mm-hmm.
So, although we talk about the war, and you said, we're talking about 4 years or something. Yeah. It nowadays takes almost 4 years to reach the casualty that it took for a long weekend during the Civil War.
One or 2 days.
Yeah. And so it's not that, you know, of course, it'd be nice if nobody got killed and we could all hold hands and live as one
war's
together.
War's hell, you know.
But it ain't going to happen. It never will, never has. Not going
to
happen.
And get ready. We're getting ready to go into Iran.
Well, something's going to happen. We got to get our gas from somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, the bigger question there is the nukes. You know, North Korea and Iran building nukes is some part of the
like I said, we're getting ready to go into Iran. We're going to go into Iran to keep them from doing the nukes.
Yeah, I think that's
I think it'll be more of a strategic type of deal, and Israel will be involved, but, you know, you never know.
Well, you know, everybody knows that there's all these first strike retaliations, and the world knows that you push a button to launch your nukes.
Everybody else pushing buttons too.
That's right. It's the end. It's all over with.
The
so nobody
end
can,
of the world as we know
you
it.
You liked that song, didn't you? That was our lead in song. I thought it was very appropriate. But yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, right? It's a bullshit thing.
Don't push the button.
You can't push the button because as soon as you do it, you're killing yourself.
Yeah, but those. Well, never mind.
So we have Bigfoot head adding to the hysteria.
Yeah, our Muslim listeners, please.
The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Yeah. All you Muslim beer drinkers out there.
Yeah. Turn jihad, jihad.
And that's a shit. You know, what are you going to do? Hey, you know something we hadn't heard about lately, though? I don't know why this reminded me. Kabbalah.
Kabbalah.
The crazy fucking religions, with the exception of our dear friends over at the fundamentalist Mormon church that we talked about a couple of shows ago. You know, you just don't hear about the, and this goes back to the celebrities, right? All getting their little red string and wearing their Kabbalah and learning all this. You notice all that's kind of gone by the wayside?
Yeah.
The only thing you still hear about every once in a while is a Scientology.
Yeah.
And really, if you needed proof that celebrities were dumber than a bag of rocks, these dumb shits believe in a religion created by a science fiction author.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. How dumb do you have to be? Yeah. Really?
And you know, they said that they're after Hannah Montana.
Oh, like, yeah.
Well, we just lost another segment of listeners. So.
The kids?
No, the Church of Scientology guys.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Oh, hell. All three of them.
The ratings are dropping.
Damn, Tom Cruise quit listening to our show. God almighty.
John Travolta, sorry, buddy. You got to go. You're out of here.
As Dick quite poetically said the other day, it's a thing we can't get fired, right?
Yeah.
Hey, what's that saying? Joke them if they can't take a fuck. But I read somewhere where they're after Hannah Montana because they know if they could get her involved, look at the young people. It would just, you know, we're a legion of followers.
But Billy Ray ain't going to let her ass out.
Imagine the people that would follow her into Scientology, man.
Yeah, otherwise known as Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, but the Disney machine is already at work. They've cranked out another one. Did you read about that?
No.
Because Miley is already showing signs of screwing up with
becoming a woman.
Quote, provocative magazine. She's not becoming a woman. She's 15.
Well, I mean, it don't take long. Man. I know. A year or 2 years, so they got to groom that next one.
But we're not pioneers anymore. It's just because kids get, you know, again, the media, hey, get out there and screw everybody. Yeah. It's hip. It's cool. Yeah. Okay, so the Disney machine's cranked out, and I forget the little girl's name, but they literally took this kid, created a movie around her before she'd ever done anything. She was like she had a guest spot on her friend's series or something on there. And I forget who the kid is. She'll be all over the place here in a few. I think in fall they're going to like launch this. And it's like, God, we are not only are we worshiping celebrities, we are worshiping celebrities that are created for us to worship. It's not because they have talent.
Hey, don't you think that the media created the Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything's created by the media.
It is.
It's ad-driven, it's money-driven, and it's all marketing and marketing and marketing.
And
I mean, didn't you just see where Obama just hired a bunch of people to market his wife?
Yeah.
I mean, they're marketing her. They created her, gave her a new makeover.
He also hired
put her out on the
he
View.
He also hired
put her,
some of Hillary's publicists.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was some news. Okay,
it's all about image.
It is about image and spectacle and whatever is perceived as value. Now, you said something, too. We didn't talk about this. This is during the break or warm-up. And you said this because you were convinced a different sort of disaster. Tiger's leg went bad.
Oh, yeah, his knee went bad. He's having season-ending surgery.
And so, I I could give a rat's ass about golf.
Mm-hmm.
I really could. And I suck at putt-putt, and I think that's why I have deep-seated hostilities towards anything golf-related, because I'm bad at it.
Yeah.
So, anything I'm not good at, I don't like.
Well, you've heard of the dude Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah.
Well,
he's a golfer, right?
No, he's a basketball player, but he's the best. And
yeah, I do.
They compare Tiger to Michael Jordan.
And I agree with that. But like I was saying, I had a newfound respect. I didn't give a shit. This kid was bred from day one by daddy having him out there, you know, smacking balls around at 2 years old. But I had a little twinge of respect come up when I found out this guy not only, played well,
mm-hmm.
but he was doing it with something that literally he should have been in the hospital.
Yeah, stress fractures.
Stress fractures and had torn, didn't he tear some things? I mean,
yeah.
He had a broken bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, kudos to Tiger. That was pretty cool.
He was playing through the pain, but now he's gone. All his sponsorship, that's going to hurt him in the pocketbook.
And that's definitely hurt him.
And it'll hurt golf in the pocketbook, the PGA, because he's the one that sells the tickets. I mean, people go to see Tiger.
Okay, now, but that's some deserved celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty low on my scale of a natural disaster.
But it's kind of a disaster for PGA because they will suffer a little in the pocketbook. I promise.
Let's get a little perspective here. We're talking about 67,000 Chinese dying in an earthquake, and
Tiger hurt his leg.
Yeah, but I mean, we are. Hey, it's kind of like sin is sin. There's no degree of sin. It's either and that's the way it goes.
But that wasn't a sin. He hurt his leg. He will come back to play golf. None of the dead people.
You never know.
Back.
Maybe the doctor will have a shaky hand and screw his knee up even worse.
Okay, speaking of dead people and disasters, I got a movie review.
Uh-oh.
The M. Night Shyamalan's first R-rated movie, The Happening, starring Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Yep.
You've seen the commercials. Well, I went to see it. Here's my review.
Was it a natural disaster?
It was a god-awful plague. It was a natural disaster. It was the most hideous. Oh, God. Well, let me put it to you this way. Mark Wahlberg was the most outstanding actor in the movie by a million miles.
How was Zoe?
She was like a fucking dummy. I mean, she just sat there and looked cute. But no, I'm not kidding you. And, Mark Wahlberg, nobody thinks of him as, the Academy recognizes him for his performance.
I think he's well above average.
He's okay.
Yeah.
He sells tickets.
I like the guy. I like the guy. But this vehicle was shit. I mean, I was telling my wife, it's like, okay, let me tell you this. I cannot stand people talking in the movie, especially if I had to pay for it. But if I'm in the movie and these people are like, talking, it's like, okay, so there are these kids behind me. And they were urban children. And so they were used to talking to the screen. But I did not care. I don't care for that shit, right? And so I'm telling my wife, I'm going to get pissed. If they're talking to them, I'm going to get pissed. The movie starts, and they shut up for a second. And it was like from the get-go, the movie was so god-awful bad with really shitty acting.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid said something, and I didn't react. And the movie went on. And the kids every so often say something. And by the end of the movie, I walked out, and I told my wife, I said, you remember I said that I was going to get pissed. It's the only thing that saved this movie for me was the funny shit the kids said.
No kidding.
I am not kidding you. I'm going to turn around and shake the guy's hand and say thank you for you entertaining me.
If you go watch this movie, you should go see it in the hood so you can get the...
Go
to your
horrible
urban theaters and watch The Happening.
It was horrible. It's like, God, what a suck-ass movie. But the premise of the movie... Here, let me ruin it for you. You see in the movie, people driving into trees and people jumping off roofs. It's like, I thought, okay, this is going to be a zombie movie. Cool. No such luck. What it is nature has reacted somehow, some form or fashion. The trees are producing some toxic nerve gas that makes you go nuts and throw yourself off the building and kill yourself. Okay. So that was a natural disaster of sorts by M. Night Shyamalan. And the movie sucked. God.
The American Idol movie I was talking about with the president is called American Dreams. Made in 2006.
Okay.
So you can Google that one.
And I remember the one called Wag the Dog.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was the one about
Primary Colors.
Yeah. Okay.
That was.
And, you know, they're talking about making idols. That thing you do was all about the music industry.
Oh yeah,
in the
50s, yeah. And we know that. We know a lot of that is true. From I'm looking at our Bobby Rush CD, talking to Bobby about how. Remember, we talked with him about how everybody screwed over the artist, blues artist, R&B.
Well, you know, we talked to Andy Tanis about the rock end of it, and he said the same thing. It's all about the marketing and the lawyers and the contracts. And I mean, he said that these artists are so eager to make that paycheck that they just sell their soul.
Yeah. Well, I just want to go on record saying that Boyz II Men were legitimate talents.
They were.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you say about Milli Vanilli. Yeah. They rock.
And man, Barney Rubble, what an actor.
Yes. All right, let's take another break and keeping with our disaster theme, here's a quiet little medley from our friends, Molly Hatchet.
Traveling down the road, my burden with disaster. I got a little too
fucking head on mine.
Look at the fucking head on yours. You're using all that beer terminology.
Yep.
Look at the size of that fucking head.
Look at the head on that son of a bitch. Hey, man, that reminds me of when my brother lived in Bartlett. He had this little, it was like a Chihuahua mix dog that lived behind him, and it was male.
Well, Chihuahua is St. Bernard mix.
Yeah, it looks like it had maybe some... It must have had some St. Bernard, because that somebody had a pear on him.
Looked like he got a bag of coconut.
He walked bow-legged, man. You'd look at that dog, and my brother goes, look at the pear nuts on that son of a bitch.
Hey, you know why dogs lick themselves, right?
Because they can.
Yeah. Because they can.
Thank you. That's we'll be here all evening.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
That is the oldest joke.
Two shows nightly.
Yeah. Now, you know the other version of that joke? Two guys were watching this dog lick himself. One guy says, man, I wish I could do that. And the other one says, no, you better not. He might bite you.
He might bite you.
So, obviously, we're back.
And the gnarly wine is kicking in.
Gnarly wine is taking us back. Okay, so we're now, Rick is still nursing his gnarly wine. It's probably a smart thing. And Mike brought over an interesting beer. It's rated 55 on Rate Beer, so yeah. Half the people...
Can't be half bad.
It's good. It's only half bad. It's Wattle Seed Ale.
Yeah.
It's an Australian beer. It's called Barron's Black Wattle Superior. Ale brewed with wattle seed. Now, we know everybody knows what wattle seed is. But just in case there's a few people out there who aren't sure.
For the Luddites and the audience.
Wattle seed is a term used to describe the edible seeds from around 120 species of Australian acacia. And traditionally used as food by the Aborigines, either cooked or eaten raw or dried and milled to a flour to make a type of bush bread. Not Anheuser-Busch, but Outback Bush bread. So we're eating this and
eating this,
it's a chewy beer. It's a low glycemic index, so it's good for you diabetics out there.
Cool.
Who knew? But I got no problem with this beer.
That's not bad. I went to their website and it's got a little slogan up there, great minds drink alike.
And the marketing splodge said caramel with a hint of chocolate. I don't get that. But it is sweet. It's malty. It's sweet. It's not really hardly any
hops. Real malty. Real malty.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Something for the kids.
Yeah, they got, you go to the website, they got a lager, a pale, an ESB, another lager.
I don't have any kind of alcohol.
No, it's very little alcohol at all. Probably 3.2, 3, maybe 5 at the most.
5.8. So that's what it says in there. I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, I wouldn't either.
It's like just sugary. Yeah, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably a good thing that we drank that because our next beer coming up is a little down the hop side of things. And so natural disasters. What else we got going on here?
Well, I was just going to, you know, we talked about this, the corn crops flooding out. It's going to obviously increase
the poor pigs.
Cost of meat, because that's all feed corn.
Yeah.
And it's also going to increase the gas, because we're losing ethanol production.
Mm-hmm.
And as a home brewer, you know, the price of hops and barley,
mm-hmm.
all this shit, it's like doubled, you know?
Yeah.
So it's getting pricey
it's get worse.
To brew a beer.
Yeah.
I
was at the local homebrew shop the other day, and my ingredients were run up for $70. You know,
wow.
I had a couple of coupons and things. And,
used to, how much was it, 35?
35 or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Well, just point of reference, a six-pack of Sierra Nevada in Memphis cost $8.
Remember? And I told you.
70-something cents, yeah.
Yeah.
It's gone up.
I paid $9 and almost $10.
For what?
After tax, it was right at $10 for Sierra Nevada.
I bought a bottle of that Unibrew Tariba yesterday. It was $10.99.
Yeah.
One bottle. It was good.
That's good beer. That's good beer.
Now here's
so the end is near. Let's have a beer.
Hey guys, let me tell you, I was on my way back from New Orleans Friday, and I stopped at a Popeye's Chicken. To get, I was just a little hungry, and I was thinking about the red beans and rice. I walk in, and there's a sign on their counter that says 25-cent surcharge on these few items, 50-cent charge on these two items,
really?
Due to increased raw material costs.
Oh,
no
the
kidding!
Bastards.
Believe it or not,
yeah,
a 2-piece chicken dinner combo with a Coke, $7.67.
You're kidding?
No kidding, man.
$7?
$7.67, and that's not even taxed.
That's for
you
a two-piece.
Tax that, it's over $8 for a 2-piece chicken.
Did they have the roulette thing at the counter?
I don't know.
No, I'm
what
serious.
What do you mean roulette?
Okay, I also went to a Popeye's.
You guys are eating fine.
Well, what all struck right. me is like, Mike, you were in New Orleans and you went to Popeye's for red beans and rice. What the hell?
This one
you could have gone anywhere.
This was on my way back from New Orleans. I was in Mississippi, just south of Jackson.
Well, this is what happened to me in my Popeye's in New Haven, Connecticut. I go to the counter and I order up some food, and the guy at the counter pushes a button, and all of a sudden this little screen starts lighting up in front of me on the front of the cash register, and it was like a roulette thing, and it pops up and says, you can have these three items for only 50 cents. Fried pie, a chicken thigh, or something else. So I got more chicken. Uh-huh. I think I ate 1.5 total chickens. From my Popeye's visit, because everything he said sounded so good. I said, yeah, I had that on. I'll eat that.
How much
too.
Was your final bill?
I don't remember. But
Medtronic paid for it. You ain't worried about it.
I know. I ate it all. More natural disasters. And this is the poor Chinese. Every damn month, something's getting on to them. And I didn't even think about this because when you think of China, you know, you probably got the typical imagery, the little paper houses and stuff like that,
little
right?
Geisha hat.
Girls and shit. Yeah. Okay. Because we don't know. We're dumbass Americans,
yeah,
right?
We're dumbass, lazy Americans.
Yeah. So, January 28th of this year, eastern and southern China, severe snowstorms leave 24 dead and affect 78 million people, including 827,000 emergency evacuees. About half of the 31 provinces in China are without power, stranding 600,000 train passengers, and at least 19 major airports closed. Economic cost of the storm, $3.2 billion.
That'll hit them in the pocketbook.
That will just smack them down and take their pocketbook. I mean, that's some crazy.
January. Hey, let me tell you something. You compare that against the American dollar, that's like $6 billion.
Well, no, this is American dollars.
Oh,
the 3.2.
Okay.
It's still not that we're going to quibble over $3 or $6 billion dollars.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, man. Shit happens in China. It's big.
Well, guys, welcome to the new world superpower, China.
Yeah.
1,300,000,000 people.
Hey, man, India just surpassed him.
Not if they keep having all these deaths and things.
Yeah.
May 12, 67,000 Chinese die and hundreds of thousands more when a 7.9 magnitude earthquake strikes Sichuan, Gansu, and Yunnan provinces. That's terrible.
Yeah, not that China's going to be a minority or anything, but India just passed them. I read that today.
In what?
In people? Population.
India's a lot bigger than China, isn't it? Or is it? They're both big.
Oh, just passed the
population. Probably the same.
They're both big, but there's so many people.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I'm depressed.
I'll tell you what's depressing.
Let's have a beer.
Yeah, and the end is near. Have a beer. And I'll tell you what.
Try not to think about how it's going to affect you. It's going to hit you in the pocketbook.
Yeah, it's going to hit you in the pocketbook, man. God almighty, it's unreal.
$100 for CNN.
Yeah,
that's pretty
right.
Much CNN's tagline.
These days?
Here's a disaster. It's going to affect your pocketbook. It's like, okay.
Yeah, we got to explain it because nobody knew what the hell we were talking about, right?
Well, I can remember back when my mom and dad were looking at Elvis shaking his hips. They said that would be the end of the world.
Yeah. there was a quote. Now I'm going to have to go to the who was it? Aristotle or Sophocles or somebody. Sophocles. And there was a quote from one of the old Greek guys who's talking about the behavior of the kids and their music and all this stuff. And you read it and you realize it was like in like 400 BC or something. Like really? Like, yeah. I'll see if I can find it. Okay, so we didn't mention our warm-up beer. I brought this back from California, Fat Weasel, which of course was no end of hilarity. As I was telling Mike, I said, "Yeah, I got a Fat Weasel." He said, "Well, my weasel's a nice size too." And we just said, "Hey, grab me a Fat Weasel."
So did you whip out your weasels and compare them?
What about, yeah.
Yeah, man.
They were about 12 ounces.
They're short and stubby and wrinkly.
But this Fat Weasel was 7.1% alcohol that we started with, so it was okay.
Yeah, it was good beer.
It was Belgian style, so it had a little spice notes.
Yep.
Good stuff.
I thought it was pretty tasty. I'd buy it again.
Who makes that?
Fat Weasel Brewery.
It was Steinhaus Brewing Company in Paso Robles, California. And I think I mentioned to you while I was out there, I thought, okay, I'm in California. I'm going to go out and see. I rarely ever have time, mm-hmm. right, to do anything or see anything. But I had an afternoon, late afternoon, and I was in the vicinity. I went to the Sunset Strip. Then I'm going to go in and get my beverage on at some of these classic places, right?
Whiskey a Go-Go.
That's exactly where I went. Whiskey a Go-Go, the Roxy, the Viper Room. Yeah. They're all right there on Sunset Strip.
Hey, what does it cost to get in those places?
Nothing.
Do they do a cover?
Nothing, because they were like, I mean, I walked into the Whiskey a Go-Go, and the damn bar wasn't open. They had the bars closed. These little kids up there playing on stage. It's like, what a dump.
Well, what time were you there?
About 7. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I thought
7
happy.
7 a.m.?
I thought, no, p.m. I thought I was going to hit a happy hour.
Dick's getting his beer run.
I thought I was going to, you know, apparently they've never heard a happy hour.
Yeah.
And I need a whiskey.
I mean, nothing. There was no,
and
none
a go-go
of the bars.
Girl.
And the Roxy was shit. It was uh-huh. closed. Just some little kids.
What are they, like 3 a.m. places or something?
Evidently, you got to go back around 2 or 3 in the morning. And I wasn't going to do that. So that was a real dud. Sunset Strip.
Isn't the Viper Room where Phoenix River had his last evening?
Yes. Yeah. I looked at the very sidewalk where he fell over dead. Great.
You kind of have to be swanky to get in there, don't you? It's not.
Well, it maybe was, it, maybe no, at 3 a.m.
I did notice there was a buzzer. But it's closed. I mean, there wasn't anybody in there.
I'll be damned.
So, it sucked. Well, I turned around and left.
You know, the actors and actresses and whatnot, they sleep till noon, and then they get out and go shoot a movie, and then they go out and party at 3 a.m.
Yeah, thing happens.
I'm not sure about that, Mike. I think when they're working, they're working like 18-hour days, you know.
They work them monkeys.
Yeah, but I mean, they go in in their trailer and do a line of coke and, you know, all everything. They take a nap.
Worship them some Kabbalah.
Yeah, take a nap, get up, go do it again. Take a nap, get up, do it again.
Well, I went and grabbed our next beer. Our last beer, by God. It's an interesting bottle. This one Rick brought to me and apparently just went ahead and drank. The Breckenridge 471 Small Batch IPA. This has, and this is kind of interesting, because we'd talked about this before. There's a style of beer mm-hmm. out of California. It's called, honestly, San Diego style. Also known as double IPA. And I'm looking at this, and on Rate Beer, they call this one an Imperial / double IPA. And this is brewed by Breckenridge Brewery out of Denver. commercial description is hoppy. Brother, 471 redefines hoppy. 471 is a small batch, limited edition ale created by Brewmaster to separate the weak from the strong. Several people have been killed by drinking this beer. No, I made that up.
They're probably Democrats.
It says 471 is a double IPA. It combines pale Munich, caramel 30, carapils, and torrified wheat malts. That's shit in your pants, man.
You're damn right. Torrified.
When you're torrified, it's all over.
You know how painful that can be. You've ever been torrified.
I was torrified and soiled myself.
Man, get it on, bro.
And if that weren't enough, they stick in Chinook, Centennial, Simcoe, and Fuggles, which is just funny as hell to say.
And you
so
know
one or two hops in there is what you're saying.
It had four of them, I got.
You know, if you've ever been fuggled, you know how painful that can be.
Yeah. I know, officer, I'm crying because I was fuggled.
Yeah.
It has a big, sweet mouthfeel followed by more hoppiness than you've ever had at one time. Enjoy. Available at Breckenridge Pubs and Restaurants and bottled as 471 Small Batch Double Hopped IPA.
Cool beans, dude.
Damn, that's a lot of hype.
Yeah.
That is
I threw in several things. So.
Smells great.
All right. I just had the rinse water, so that was a combination of beers. Okay. There you go. All yours.
Oh, shit. Damn. Hit the glass.
Sorry.
Hey, Rick, he poured it on the table.
Are you guys abusing alcohol?
Yeah, I just did.
Man, what a pretty
down the outside of the glass.
What a beautiful color.
Good color. It's got a what'd you call that? An amber, darker amber
kind of honey color. Kind of a honey.
Yeah, like a honey.
Yeah.
It's got a little cloud to it. I don't know if it's chill haze or not because we did take it right out of the refrigerator. Nice head.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's staying up, and it's got big bubbles and little bubbles. And
got a great smell, too.
Oh, yeah. I love that. That's the kind of smell I like on an IPA. It's kind of floral and citrus. And I'm not getting any pine, even though there was Chinook used. Mmm. Good stuff.
Well, as Jeffrey T would say, I'd pat that one off the tit.
Yeah.
Down at the brewery.
Hey, speaking of Jeffrey T, we got to put in our obligatory plug, Beer Safari. It's a jungle of beer out there. Go to beersafari.com. You can subscribe and listen to an assload of podcasts. Some are pretty good.
Some suck like ours.
Don't judge them by us. You know something? I noticed that the numbers are really starting to go up for some of these shows. It's really nice watching some of these beer podcasts last.
Yeah.
They have lasted. Jeffrey T, of course, is, you know, he's nonstop.
He's like the original. He's a machine.
He's a machine. And, God, what is he up to? Like 150, 160, who knows?
Yeah.
And our friends over at The Beer Report just launched show 40. Something like that.
How about our buddy up in Nashville?
Oh, Justin Davis. He's every week, man.
Davis
cranking him out. And even Charlie the Beer Guy is back, although Charlie has slacked off a little bit, and he published something recently about it. And Phil, I had no idea. My life as a foodie, it just didn't seem that long. It's been on a year.
Been a year.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I mean, it just didn't seem that long. It just seemed like the other day.
Yeah, I listened to his anniversary show the other day, and it was a recap of what he did for the year, and it was really good.
Yeah.
And I've tried several of his recipes, and I mean,
that had
very,
clips from
very
big
good.
Foamy head, so it's got to be good.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I've got something, and I'm saving it.
Okay.
It's not for this show. Rick, you don't get any. unless we can talk Phil into sending you some. I have now, sitting in my coolerator, a bottle of Clark Weizen.
Cool.
You know, I still have some James Spencer beers.
Well, that's what we... You know what? We need to solicit from all of our friends some of their finest.
Yeah.
We need to get Craig and the Brew Babas send us a little something. Oh, which he did.
He did.
That's right. Because we have...
Bourbon Oak Robust Porter.
Yeah, because we have our own little anniversary coming up.
That's right, we do.
In July, the 4th of July weekend-ish,
3 years.
Wow.
3 years.
Golf clap.
3 years of Bigfoot.
Yeah. I don't know what you get for that. I think the appropriate gift to give is beer. So we should, yeah, we should solicit James. I was watching his video cast earlier, and man, that guy just comes up with more creative things on
he's
how to make
another animal. He pumps them out, man.
Yeah.
He's continuous.
So that would be, I think that would be a fine show if we had nothing but homebrews from our fellow podcasters. That'd be a good show.
Be a nice show.
Okay. So, this IPA, this Breckenridge 471, small batch. I think I read you the description. What I didn't read you, the ABV, 9.2% alcohol.
What are you trying to do? Get me drunk, take advantage of me?
That's it. It's going to be another natural disaster.
That'll hit me in my pocketbook.
If my aim is bad. I'm kidding.
Are we ready for our serious moment? I really do want to say that our thoughts and prayers go out to the people in Iowa and all up and down the Mississippi River. And,
China?
Other river that was flooding.
Well, the entire world. I mean, it really is. And you know, honestly, Rick, we weren't mocking anybody, really.
No. Our thoughts and prayers go out to them, and, you know, hurricane season's right around the corner, so.
Oh, yeah,
If we get our refineries hit one more time, you know, we're screwed. Let's face it, we're screwed.
Yeah, it's something's got to give. There's too much misery, depression, bad things, and I think you brought up a good point earlier about the media. These days, we are, on the one hand, much more aware of the horrible, horrifying shit that occurs on a near daily basis all throughout the world because of the immediacy of the news network. But on the other hand, because we're exposed to it so much, we get desensitized and we forget these are people.
And yeah, there's the natural disasters, and then there are the human idiot things like the genocide in Darfur. Let's just stop these religious wars and shit, you know?
Yeah.
We don't need them.
No, there's too many other things.
We should be killing
things.
Each other over God.
Yeah.
Wrong. That's wrong.
I saw another one, though, and this one, I remember hearing about it, but it's like another one of those things that you just don't really think about. In April, 2 months ago, since it started in January, more than 80 people, so I guess it's still going on, more than 80 people have died and at least 75,000 infected in Rio de Janeiro, party place, dengue fever. And in March, the Brazilian military opened 3 field hospitals to help control the epidemic. So there's people getting sick and dying like crazy.
Spell it.
Dengue, D-E-N-G-U-E.
It's not like your little dinghy?
No. Dengue fever.
Okay, I didn't want mine to fall off.
Yeah,
that's another thing I want to talk about was the colony collapse disorder from the bees. You know, they're talking about us not having any fresh fruit or vegetables.
Oh, yeah, because of the pollinating?
Well, it's
like an AIDS virus. Hit the bees.
I'm glad you brought that up, Two Dogs, because believe it or not, I went and bought 10 pounds of honey from, or 12 pounds of honey from our local guy here in town. And he actually has his hives over in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And he goes over there and works them about every 3 days he goes and works his hives. But and he has 800 beehives that he works. And I was asking him about it, and he told me that it's not as a big deal for your local producers. It's more of the commercial producers. Because what they do is they pack those bees up and they ship them to California. They ship them to the coast. They ship them to the East Coast, West Coast. And it's the stress on the bees is what's doing it.
Well, and they're kind of malnourished, you know, so they're susceptible to any kind of...
They're creating their own problem. They're asking the bees to do more than they're capable of doing. Because...
You'd think the HR guy for the bees would step in.
Well, I know that. But he told me that the average life of a bee is 63 days.
Okay.
Now, can you imagine
work
that?
Those little fuckers for 58.
He said their wings, they actually, the wings deteriorate and fall off and become nothing.
So if they can't fly, laying down there, they can't go pollinate.
Okay. If they can't fly, they're done. They're dead. But what happens is over time, they're stressed. They're overworked and they're stressed. You would think they would get a union, a bee union.
A bee union. That spells bunion.
Yeah.
Again, but Hollywood has a Beat Us to It with
the bee movie.
Yeah, the bee movie.
But the big thing is, he told me that he is about 10% down in bees. He has lost some, but some of the commercial growers are losing 40% of their colonies.
Well, forgive me if I'm not distraught. Fuck a bee. But I hear you. I mean,
yeah, this is one of those disasters you have not bought into.
But no, hey, really. Dick, let me tell you something.
My honey prices are going up. Oh, shit.
No, it ain't got nothing to do with honey. Let me tell you something.
No, I got you. It's pollinating in the crops. And I see where you're going.
Let me tell you what they do. They take these bees over here to Arkansas Delta. You know what they grow over there?
Rice.
No.
Shitloads of rice.
Rice do not pollinate honey. You know why? Rice. You know why?
Why?
Is because rice does not flower.
Right. But they do grow an ass load of rice.
Yeah, but bees don't have a thing to do with rice.
Okay.
Bees have a thing to do with, and they don't have anything to do with corn either.
Okay.
They have nothing to do with grasses. Okay.
Okay.
That's what he told me. He says they pollinate cotton. And they pollinate soybeans.
Oh, okay.
Soybeans. And we need cotton. What are you wearing right now? You're wearing a cotton T-shirt and cotton shorts.
Yes, sir, I am.
And you know you don't want to be caught dead with polyester.
Without the bees, I'm running around naked.
That's damn right. And that'd be an ugly sight.
Well,
so
it would be.
So we need cotton to put on your bodies to protect you from us. So
and vice versa.
So there is definitely an issue there with the bees. And it's just an immune deficiency. They're stressed out and they can't protect themselves against viruses and mites and things like that.
Yeah, and they're malnourished because they're having like a single source of pollen, you know, instead of going out and collecting from different sources, they're one crop type pollinated.
Okay.
Collections.
And see, when I bass fish, and I was doing a lot of tournament fishing for years and years, and then they have the same thing going on with largemouth bass. A lot of these lakes around the country are experiencing a largemouth bass virus, and it's due to stress because they catch and release. And when they catch them, you're handling the fish. It stays in a live well all day under stress, and then at the end of the day, the fish is released back into the lake. Well, it becomes stressed and open to viruses and parasites and things like that. And next thing you know, the fish die. So, I mean, it's not to the measure of biblical proportions or anything.
Not yet.
But, I mean, they had areas of Sardis Lake a few years ago where it was just white bellies of fish laying up in the coves. I mean, they were dying like crazy.
Well, of course, we didn't really touch on all the maritime, other than the maritime disaster, but everything we do, the environment. Thank God we haven't gotten off on the green topic. Lest we forget, we're fucking up the world.
We are. It's man-made.
And we're all going to die. But you know what? The only consoling factor that I have, the only thing that makes me feel okay about
the beer in front of you?
Other than the beer in front of me is, this is going to be my kids' problems. I'll be dead.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It ain't my problem. You worry about
it's
it, right?
Somebody else's problem.
Y'all go ahead and fix that.
We gotta wind this.
What's our next song?
We are gonna get out of here, and this is we'll close out with a. I got so many of them that I was looking up like destruction, death, famine, flood. Yeah, you wouldn't believe how many different uses there are. So I've got an old one. I won't even tell you the name. See if you know it. Let's call it a show. Good beers. What would you, the ones that we've had, the cappuccino stout, the gnarly wine.
Good. That was so good. I love the cappuccino. Okay. It was well done, well balanced.
The gnarly wine.
I think that's my favorite.
Like
yeah,
that?
It's a little sweet.
Rich.
It was a little sweet.
Rich.
I like it.
And we've got The Wattle Seed.
Nah.
Okay.
Fat Weasel.
Nah. Okay. The Breckenridge Brewery's Small Batch 471 Double IPA. I think that's mine. Man, tart, crisp, tangy.
Going with the hops, huh?
Oh, yeah. Love the hops. This is a good drinker. It finishes clean. I love that. Got my hop on, then it's gone.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
What do you got in a brew pub?
What am I brewing?
Yeah,
brew
what are you
pub.
Brewing? Yeah. There's a little brew pub out in Colorado.
Oh, his
yeah,
direct,
well, my,
the Epiphany Brew Pub. Yeah,
the Epiphany
Brew
Pub.
Brewery has on tap right now. It's a wee heavy that I'm trying to kill. It's been in there for way too long. A English strong bitter, or extra strong bitter. And I just tapped a wheat raspberry beer. It's kind of good.
How'd it turn out?
Pretty good.
Sounds like a good summer beer.
Mm-hmm. Wheat, yeah, it's carbonating right now, but it's got a Hefeweizen yeast to it and a little bit of wheat malt extract, and it was the base malt was pale malts. So yeah, it's coming out pretty good. It was an ugly beer when I racked it from the primary, but you know, it's tasting pretty good.
All right.
Well, hey, I just got I did Johnny Max's panty dropper recipe with the 10 pounds of honey and.
Uh-huh.
10 cans or 9 cans of Welch's grape juice concentrate.
Jeez.
I got it in the bottle or got it in the fermenter yesterday with the yeast. Checked it this morning, bubbling strong with about 2 inches of crossing on top.
Yum.
And,
so that's a piment, right?
Yeah, piment. Oh. Uh-huh. Smells great. I mean,
anyway, we should be buying honey. It kind of helps the honey growers or the bees.
Sure.
And doesn't 5% of all honey purchases go to the bee union?
It does.
To make bee movie.
Goes into their retirement fund.
Part of their benefits package, right?
They can live out their last 5 days in luxury.
3% goes to Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Well, no kidding. All these disasters are hitting us in the pocketbook. I mean, all our fruits and vegetables and bread and everything's going up. So
it is. It's just going to be shit. Before you know it, the dollar is going to be like pesos. $10,000 won't
scary.
Be a lot of money.
That's scary, man.
Okay. Well, it sucks. You thoroughly depressed me.
So the end is near what?
The end
let's
is
have
near.
A beer.
Let's have a beer.
All right. Let's call it a show. And be sure to visit Beer Safari for all of your beer podcast needs. And see you next time.
Drive safe.
Check, please.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war. But what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe destruction. Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over.
the hate there is in Red China. Then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace and tell me. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.